the seventh seal is to be opened. We see the Ancient of Days, God the Father, sitting on the throne, holding in his right hand a scroll with writing on both sides, sealed with seven seals. And then we see Jesus, the Lamb, that appears as though it's been slain, went and took the scroll that was sealed, and each of those seals began to be opened. Today, we come to the seventh seal in Revelation chapter 8. We're going to discuss that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer, and I want to personally thank you for following along on our podcast that's called todayintheword.podbean.com. That's PODBEAN.com. Those of you that are watching us on YouTube, be sure and subscribe. If you don't mind, give us a thumb up and also get the word out to your friends by sharing this. Today, we continue in the book of Revelation, of course, and we're moving into chapter 8 that opens up in verse 1, the seventh seals, which is the opening of the seven trumpets. We see multiple of sevens constantly through the book of Revelation, seven being the number of perfection and the number of lawsuit against apostate Israel. I want you to be reminded of the setting of the book of Revelation, which is an expansion of Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, when Jesus spoke and prophesied the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem. We have to be reminded how paramount and how big this was to the disciples. What? God Himself is telling us that the temple, whom God set up Himself. The temple is what God established. The temple was given by God, and now we're being told by Jesus that the temple would be destroyed before that generation would pass away. No wonder they ask Him, tell us, when shall these things be? What will be the sign? And Jesus lays out seven signs leading up to the sign, which was the destruction of the temple, which they were asking about, that one stone would not be left on top of another. Now, we read over that too quickly because this is a massive thing, warning all through the scriptures of God's people who would abandon the covenant. Now, we know Israel abandoned the covenant from time to time or with withdrawal, and God would send a prophet, and they would turn in repentance, and He would restore them. This is the pattern all through the Old Testament, bringing us to the place that He is going to reach the families of the earth, the nations of the earth, by the hardening of their heart and by their eyes not seeing and their ears not hearing, in part until the times of the Gentiles be brought in. And that would come forth, as Paul explained in Romans chapter 11, the bringing forth of the true Israel, which would be taking of those natural branches that had been cut off through unbelief, and the wild olive branches, which never belonged, and engrafting them in to the root of Jesus Christ, therefore having all of Israel to be saved. The church being the fulfillment of all that God had promised from the time of Abraham, that in you, in your seed, which was Jesus Christ, according to Galatians 3, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Now, for this to happen, there had to come a major transition from one government and one means to another, in keeping with Jesus's story in Matthew 21, when He said that He would take the kingdom from them and give it to another that bears forth the fruits of righteousness. The Pharisees and the leaders knew, it says in verse 43 through verse 45, that He was talking about them. And they became very upset and angry about that, because this was the whole message that Jesus was bringing, that the gospel was to go to all of the nations and the unbelieving Jews would be left behind. For He came into His own and His own received Him not. But those who would be of faith, which would be the remnant, the fulfillment of the stump of Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah said, I will go And he said, and God said, okay, go. But here's what you got to tell them. They have ears to hear and can't hear, eyes to see and can't see. And Isaiah said, how long shall this be? He said, until the land is desolate and only a tenth of the temperate tree, only a portion that belongs to the Lord, a stump shall remain, and it would grow back, meaning that would be the remnant of the election of grace, which Paul said, is all of Israel cut off? He said, no, for I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, and I've been included through the election of grace. So God has always had a people by grace and by faith. And even though many unbelief were cut off, there were those by faith that were grafted in and to make the Israel of God. According to Galatians chapter 6, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, and all who live by this rule are the Israel of God. So that's the picture now. As we go in further into these judgments, you have to see it. Because the warning had come from Moses back in chapter 29 of Deuteronomy, beginning at verse 22, says, your children who follow in later generations and foreigners who come from distant lands will see the calamities that have fallen on the land and diseases which the Lord has afflicted it. The whole land will be burning with waste of sulfur and salt, nothing planted, nothing sprouting, no vegetation growing on it. It will be like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, of Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in fierce anger. And all the nations will ask, why has the Lord done this to the land? Why this fierce burning anger? And the answer will be, because this people abandoned the covenant of the Lord and the God of their ancestors. How much more of abandonment can you get than the rejection of Jesus Christ, the very fulfillment of all of the prophets? So this is a very important and serious time, and we should see it in the context in which the first generation of believers would read the book of Revelation and see all the things that were taking place and would be taking place very shortly, and they would need to be warned. So as these seals are open, we come to the seventh seal. And it says in chapter 8, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all of God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, in an earthquake. We already saw the description of rumblings and peals of thunder and lightning and earthquake coming from the throne, which is God's power and God's might that can be shown even in judgments, which we'll see. I find it interesting here that these seven angels that are standing before the throne are given these seven trumpets. These angels are not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. I know we see seven angels to the seven churches, but this is different. These angels are standing before the throne of God, and they're to carry out seven again, mentioned regularly in the book of Revelation. So when this seventh seal is broken, we see that there is silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now, it's interesting that this is in conjunction with the prayers of the saints and the offering of incense before the throne. The reason that that's interesting is because when the high priest would take the incense into the altar of incense, which rested in the holy place, and the veil separated the holy place from the holies of holies, and the incense was offered at the time of prayer. You remember over in Acts chapter 3, it says when the disciples was going at the hour of prayer, That was a time in the temple when these incense were offered, and the Christians continued to go in prayer. And this time of prayer is a time of incense that would be offered in the afternoon. And by the period of time that that was offered, there was silence often. It would be about a half an hour. You see writers like Milton Terry, who wrote a lot about biblical apocalyptic teachings. He says this: the half hour may have some reference to the offering of incense as described in verse 3 and 4. That would be about the length of time necessary for a priest to enter the temple and offer incense and return. The opening of these seven seals, they are going to herald the doom of Jerusalem. This city, which was once a holy city called the City of God, is now paganized. We can remember such destruction and the announcement of it by trumpets. If we remember the first victory that God gave to His people Israel when they crossed over and they took Jericho. You might remember that in Joshua chapter 6. They marched around the city each day, and they were led by seven priests carrying seven trumpets. And on the seventh day of the march, they encircled the city seven times, keeping silence until the trumpets were to blow. You're going to see this same analogy used in the book of Revelation. It's eerie paradox here that just as the first city was given in victory and a destruction that was provided in victory for Israel, now that same judgment is being pronounced in a similar way upon that once holy city. Because we're about to hear the sounding of the trumpets and the declaring and the trembling and the tumbling that's going to take place of the walls, just like it did in Jericho come down. Now we have the walls of Jerusalem about to be destroyed. It's as if they ignored the warnings that came to them earlier as judgments, and now this wrath is about to follow. The seven seals that take place open up the seven trumpets that will declare, and then the wrath themselves from the bowl, the seven chalices or bowl wrath will actually be poured out, will be in keeping with these warnings of these seven trumpets. So we should make note of this, that trumpets were used to warn what was about to take place. Some of you might remember in Joel chapter 2, it says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand." Now that can be a reference to the first destruction of Jerusalem under Babylon, but we definitely know it's a reference to the destruction of Jerusalem under the Roman armies that we're talking about here in the book of Revelation, because Peter, the apostle, gives us biblical hermeneutics interpreting that when he stood up on the day of Pentecost, he said, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And he quotes out of Joel chapter 2, where he says, "And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." He's saying, "This is that. And I will show you, listen, wonders in heaven and on earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." Now, we like to separate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for 2,000 or more years to the end of the world. But that's not what Peter does. He says, "This is that," meaning the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was proof positive that Jesus was sitting on the throne, and there was consequences of rejecting Jesus as the Messiah, and it would come, and the sun would be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, for on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. Hello, Mount Zion. You've come to Mount Zion. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem where there's deliverance. And the Lord has said, "Even among the survivors whom the Lord calls." So whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is evidence of the gospel age and the gospel age would bring about great consequences upon those people who had rejected. You see, before the trumpets would be sounded, there was another angel that came forth that said, to the altar of incense. Now, this is obviously a reference to the tabernacle in the wilderness in which the golden altar of incense stood before the sanctuary, as we've talked about, and the veil separated the holy place from the holies of holies. And here the prayers of the saints, it says here in heaven, had been kept before the throne in a golden bowl. These are the same prayers of the apostles. These are the same prayers of the martyrs. These are the same prayers of the saints, the believers who had been killed, that we saw in the fifth seal of these souls who are under the altar crying out to, O sovereign Lord, how long will it be before you avenge our blood upon the inhabitants of the land? Those prayers were kept in a golden bowl. Now, I believe our prayers are precious and are kept before the throne of God, but in context, it's speaking of that first generation of martyred believers whose prayers were being answered now as the angel took coals off of the altar, mixed it with the prayers of the saints, and hurled it to the earth, and there was flashes of lightning, there was rumblings and peals of thunder as the judgments of God came forth. You see, this whole phenomena of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, we see in the book of Exodus as well, when the covenant was made with Israel there on Mount Sinai. It was the presence of God. What's interesting is the casting of the fire from the altar is also in keeping with Old Testament reference. For as you see in Ezekiel chapter 10, we see in Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 2 through 18, where a man is dressed in white linen, and he's instructed to fill his hands with coals from the cherubim and scatter them over the city of Jerusalem, because the glory of the Lord was departing Jerusalem. The same thing. The whole city then was to receive destruction because God's glory was departing. This is the same image that Jesus used when he said in Matthew 23, verse 38, your house is left desolate. The glory has departed. He didn't say my house, because it no longer was his house. One greater than the temple was present. God's presence moved from the temple to him who was the fullness of the Godhead, dwelt in Christ bodily. One greater than the temple, one greater than Solomon, who built the temple, was in their midst, and they missed it. So he said, your house is left desolate. And that's moves from that verse right into the chapter 24, Matthew, who talks about the destruction that was going to take place. Even Jesus, speaking in Luke chapter 12, around verse 49, he's talking to the Jews who had apostate, who were not believers, and he says, I have come to cast fire upon the land, and how I wish it was already kindled. He said, that's why I've come. Now, the irony of all of this is, if you keep in mind, is that this fire that God sent that was to be offered on the altar, in fact, the scripture tells us that that fire literally came from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering upon the altar. That was a fire from this same throne room that John sees in the book of Revelation. In Leviticus chapter 9, we see fire coming and consuming. That was God's fire that was kept burning. The work of the priest was to keep that fire burning. 2 Chronicles 7:1, you see the same thing. When they had offered in prayer, and Solomon had offered that prayer, or fire came from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. It was the glory of the Lord filled it. So this fire was started by God, kept burning by the priest, was carried from place to place to be used to start other holy fires. What we find very interesting here is those that when God commanded a city that was apostate to be destroyed, through Moses, God gave command that that would be devoted to destruction. And you see in Deuteronomy 13, verse 16, he says, you are to gather all the plunder of the town in the middle of the public square and completely burn the town, all of its plunder, as a whole burnt offering to the Lord your God. This town is to remain a ruin forever, never to be rebuilt. How were they to start that fire? They were to take the fire, since it was an offering to the Lord because it was devoted to destruction. They were to take the fire off of the altar and ignite all the plunder in the city and burn the whole city, for it was a destruction as an offering to him. It's amazing that we see this same example. However, this time, the coals that come off the altar and mixed with the prayers of the saints are about to pronounce judgments upon apostate Jerusalem. Wow. It's all in keeping with the prophecies that Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 of the destruction that would come upon the temple and upon the Jerusalem. May we see the message of the book of Revelation as we walk through today in the Word.